morning. He has already mentioned the crop production using subsurface drip irrigation, SDI, and in-field evaluation. And with me, my colleagues are there. I am in the research and extension. My role is the extension specialist, providing support to the research findings being taken to the producers, and also provide support to in their adoption and being able to utilize the systems. And my colleague, Danny Rogers, is also extension specialist, and Freddie Lamb, he is the research engineer who does most of the SDI research in Kansas. And drip irrigation for fruits and vegetables is already a proven technology. We know to be able to save water or make an efficient use of water, drip has become very popular, in and also being able to manage it more efficiently in terms of production. It has been already proven technology. But to be able to use it for field crop, annual row crops like corn, soybean, and others, always was a questionable thing, how to manage it or how to do it. So the subsurface drip system is the became an answer, and Kansas State University launched a very big research on using the drip irrigation, placing it as a subsurface system. And we did find through research of 18 years now that it is an efficient, and the irrigation can be very uniform for field crops like corn as well. You know, the high value crops, drip is of course is a proven technology, but crop field crops like corn, of course nowadays corn price is going up again, so there's a story is changing a little. But then this is in the Great Plains area, it is becoming an emerging technology. Just to give you a overview of the system, I will not go too much. I think I'll be pitching to the choir. A lot of you are already working with SDI or some form of drip irrigation. Pump station, backflow prevention, of course you have to have in any pump condition. We of course need a flow meter. And for a, depending on the water quality, it is always to good to design a system with a chemical injection possibility so that chemicals can be injected. As we go along, we'll see that it is an important appurtenance to be with the subsurface drip irrigation. Schematically, I'm showing the filtration system, and you will notice that we have air vent there just to make sure that when the system is shut down, that there is no vacuum to suck in the water back into the laterals. And there are also two ports that I show here is for the pressure gauge reading, because the filters, you need to monitor the filtration system, whether it is getting debris collecting in there or not. Some of the systems are automated to operate with a pressure differential upstream and downstream. Anything from 3 to 5 PSI differential will kick in the flushing system to keep the filters clean. And then of course it goes to the submain, and then we see the tape, the laterals, and this system should be also connected to the flush line, and that is very important. As you will, I will show you some case study and example that the flushing is very essential. There is always something that will be in the line accumulating and needs to be flushed periodically to avoid clogging. And just showing the installation, there are this installation for research was 18 inches and spacing 5 feet. There are three tapes being injected. Most of you know what it is. I just have the one sample here. And it is being injected into the field. And we found that 18 inches depth and spacing of 5 feet is the best results that we got. Producers, of course, sometimes they put it anything between 12 to 18 inches. So it can vary in the field. Just to show how we have our system in the research field that Freddie is doing, and they are feeding two rows in the line. The important component that we need to safeguard is the emitter through which the water is dripping out. Now, The system operates at 8 or 10 psi, but then we have to dissipate that energy, and that's why you have the turbulent pathway emitter system, so that the energy is dissipated and it comes out as it drops, as it dribbles out. And that's the place where the most of the clogging hazard can occur. And the number one concern or thing that we should be careful about a drip system is the clogging of the emitters. For that, of course, we have all kinds of filtration system. This is a media filter which will take care of the very fine particles of physical component that might be present in the water. I'm just showing this result from the research that was done in Ecovi. We have the 23 separate zones are represented here, and 18 years of period, and this shows the percent of flow from the first season flow rate. So every year we like to check how the flow rate is changing, if there is any clogging or in the system or not. And you'll see that they are bouncing around 105 to 95. Of course, some of them are higher, maybe because every year these are cleaned by injecting chlorine to keep down the microbial growth, and also acid to keep protection from the any precipitate that may form from bicarbonates or anything that precipitating. So 18 years, the system is still working, and you see that they are bouncing around within 100%. So it looks like it's that's why we're inferring that this technology is something that can be used, and we have been promoting it. And now 25,000 acres have gone into SDI system, which are buried underground, I mean 18 inches below. Some of the concern, even after you have taken the physical particles from the water chemistry has also something to play a role. And we need to know the calcium, magnesium, and this has been rated as to their clogging hazard potential, clogging potential of the water based on their quality. Bicarbonate can be a problem. The pH or the hydrogen ion activity is also, if it is a positive, can encourage precipitate formation. Manganese and iron ion can be a problem. As we saw in our Ogallala aquifer water, is of course we don't have iron problem, but we do have some areas where there is alluvial aquifer. And in those areas, we do see iron and iron presence of iron bacteria, and that can cause some problem. So some of these concerns are there. We have a bulletin that lists some of these potential clogging hazard, and we provide that to the producers and to the industry to be able to analyze the water and rank it and take care of it in designing their system. Here is a field. I will present you a case study because I work with the producers, so I'm bringing in some of the producers what they face. And you'll see the soybean field as a differential of growth. And it was because there were partial clogging in some of the system there. So we wanted to go and see what was going wrong. And we found on the top end some, the water was clean, but then it had growth, some of the bacterial growth, iron bacteria that were growing in that system. So we looked into the system. The system was like this to start with, and you do not see any flow meter, you don't see any pressure measuring device or any nipple to look at the pressure differential in the filter. So this was not ideally set up. It was a 45-acre field, and it had only one flush line taking care of the 45 acres. So it didn't have enough water to generate the capacity of the flow rate so that it will clear the system. So the flush line was also not operating. So we had to go in and make some changes, put in a flow meter, change the configuration of the filtration system, and of course the area was divided into two zones, so it has to be changed. And here I'm showing the zoning of the system. 45 acres was divided into two zones so that the flushing can be done more effectively. There will be enough water and pressure that can clean up the system. And just showing another view of it, and also the pressure measuring nipples there. So how did we recover that? We injected some acid into the system and flushed it and kept some in the system again after flushing. And this treatment recovered the system to a very good extent. And when this happened, we wanted to find out how all the other producers are doing, because this case study brought in our eyes to this, what all the others are doing. So we made a survey and wanted to see how others are doing. And 49 producers responded, and we found that they are mostly they are satisfied. There was one unsatisfied, and few in the down in the other range where they were mostly somehow satisfied or in that range. So we tried to look into those five systems. When we asked them, would they expand their SDI system? Most of them were in the positive. They said, yes, they like it. They would like to expand their system. And so major concerns when we asked them, their reply was that the damage from the rodent was one of the big concerns. And one of the producer who was raising corn by the side of an alfalfa field, and it was a very light texture soil, the rodent infestation was quite heavy. And this was 37 of these 49 responded that that was a concern, because those who were very satisfied, they also said that they have to fix one or two, three, four every year. There is always some repair has to be done. The one who I will show you a picture, that system, that producer didn't have the time to go in and fix those. And in SDI system, you cannot ignore any little problem. You cannot let it add on. You have to attend to that right away. That is one of the need. It's a high management system. So filtration was concerned, but a lot of them say that they can manage it. And clogging due to iron bacteria was there, and cost to the system was one of the concerns. And wetting up of the field was not a big concern. We checked some of the systems for their flow rate, their water quality, and biological hazard. And this is the field that had the rodent damage. You can see one of the line is not getting at all any water. We checked their pressure into the lateral, and we checked five in the season, and we found three were in a very good condition. One was bad from the rodent damage, and the other one developed some problem because of the they applied some fertilizer in the starting year where there was some phosphorus, and that caused some problem. So we recommended that they should inject some acid and chlorinate to kill the iron bacteria. So this is in the process of recovery. In concluding remark, SDI system for field crop production are working well in Kansas. So we have one or two system that is going through the process of improving. Water test for SDI suitability is needed for proper design, and depending on water quality, it may be necessary to inject acid and chloride. I have some listed some website for resources. If you need, you can go and check those, and you have more information in there. And we really appreciate these financial funding support, partial support from the USDA Ogallala Initiative project. Thank you.
We do have time for a question or two, if there are any.
Since you are the insider of this system and technology, if you were farmer, are you going to use this technology as well?
If I am a farmer, the water that we are using in Ogallala Aquifer, it is very essential that we minimize our pumping. And I would say that for the, if I can manage, that is the condition will be that the life of the system, if I can make it 15 years of life, the economics that we have done, that with the proper management, if we can keep it for 15 years, then definitely it will be more profitable compared to any other system. Yes. So the condition will be that I should be looking that my system runs for at least 15 years.
Yes.
Yes.
So you said that you had the drip tape buried at 18 inches, and one of the concerns with that was that you weren't getting water near the surface for germination of the seed. How close does that, I'm trying to think that the water profile get in terms of that surface?
It depends on the soil texture. In a silty clay loam soil, it will come up all the way up to that our observation is within 1.5 inches or 2 inches on the surface. For a small seed crop, it may be a problem if you are planting it very shallow, because that, like alfalfa or other onion or something like that, in that case our depth may be not may not bring all the way to the surface. But for a large seeded crop, it has never been a problem. For corn and other crop, it is not a big, at all a problem. So it apparently it looks like that it would be a concern, but we were surprised to see that only 3 respondents are saying that it may be a concern, but didn't see that much. The what we feel was the feedback from the producer didn't look like that way. That was also very interesting to note. So the producers growing soybean or corn and crops like that, they look like that they are quite doing quite a good job. They are satisfied.